Hi, this is Heather Dugan coming to you live from the American Library Association Annual Conference. We are in the live from the 25 Sound Pavilion here, and this is a live conversation with the esteemed Barry Kenzel this morning. This is part of the Zoom into Books podcast. I hope that you take a moment to sign up and follow, because there are a lot of great author interviews to find on there. So Barry, we met yesterday, and you have an interesting life, I know, and I'm kind of curious how you moved into the author zone and when that began for you.
Thank you, Heather. It's good being here with you today.
Yeah.
I started writing probably about 10 years ago because I had a family story, and it was about my father who, at age 12 in 1932, during the Great Depression, hopped a freight train in northern Kentucky and went to New Orleans to see Mardi Gras. I decided that's a great family story.
Right.
I think I'll write it. It was written as a novel. I had enough of a framework of true facts that I knew about when he went and how long he was there, and he went to see Mardi Gras, which was there near Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I wrote the story, and then when my family read it, they said, this is really great. You ought to have this published. And so I ended up with Headline Books, got it published, and things went from there.
What a terrific little, like, pop into another world for you, isn't it?
It was.
What else do you do, or what was your job that you were?
Ironically, my job was a chief financial officer at a company.
I love it.
And, a CPA and all. And so it really didn't fit in with that, but I always told people I was just exercising the other side of my brain.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Way to use everything you got up there.
Yeah.
I love the ways our brains work so differently, and I think that probably would make for a different kind of a feel to the plot line and all of the way you develop things. And you need to know the details and the kind of things you're describing.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Nothing throws off a story like a few details missed here and there if you're getting into time, oriented material.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how many books have you written now?
Well, a total of six when you include, after The Crossings, which was my first book,
uh-huh.
I wrote The Indian, which is a lot about an Indian motorcycle, but it's the story, it continues of my father's when... In 1940, when he and a friend went into World War II and served in the South Pacific in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
The Indian part is an antique Indian motorcycle. And then I've recently released A Whisper in the Wind, which mm-hmm. is the third mm-hmm. in that series.
Okay.
In the meantime, between a couple of these books, I ended up working with Willie Burton, a high school wrestler, who wrestled with cerebral palsy for 4 years.
Wow.
Lost every match but one, which he won on senior night.
Oh, my goodness.
I ended up finding out about that through ESPN, did a documentary. Somebody contacted me and said, do you know how to get a book published? And I said, well, actually I do, but what are you talking about? And he told me, and I said, well, I'd like to write it. So I ended up writing it with Willie Burton. And then I followed that up with a children's book about the difficulties that he always had with children playing with him because of his disabilities.
Yeah.
And then recently I helped Nate Branch, the Harlem Globetrotter, write his autobiography, and that's just been released this weekend too.
Wow.
So people always said a good author should stay in their genre. Well, I've been all over
you
the
dance.
Place, but I just took it where it took me.
Took you? I'm seeing
that. These opportunities came, and I said, I'll try that. And they've all won awards and things, so I guess it's working out.
I love how the story about, the perseverance with the disability and receiving that, the victory that he was achieving. I mean, it was a victory just to be on the mat, I'm sure. And then to get into it, I'm sure just as you talked with him, you began to understand more about his life, and to bring that in is really a resource. Is that one aimed, I'm curious, age group, the one about the children and the interactions, where do you aim these kinds of books?
Well, that book was aimed at, K, probably K through 8 or 9.
Okay, so you'd be, I'm just thinking, you know, libraries and school systems,
yes,
they love to bring in a good author with some meat to the material, too. And,
yeah,
and it sounds like you'd really be able to bring in a lot. With
yeah,
the,
when, mm-hmm, when we were down at the Southern Christmas show,
uh-huh,
in Charlotte last year, the teachers that came through there were,
yeah,
just all over both books, Heart of a Lion and the children's book.
So. Oh, we need that kind of, you know, we've got so
right,
much to learn in this world, and it sounds
real
like
real life stories of perseverance.
Yes, yeah. I mean, and just showing the path to people is sometimes what inspires them to take those first steps, because you,
right,
you need to see where to put your foot.
Right, and oftentimes, mm-hmm, the person is the one that doesn't realize they're inspiring people. They're just trying to get from one day to the next. And
this
in the
so
end,
true,
they give a great example on how to,
yeah,
persevere.
Well, you know, it is about adapting for all of us. And resilience is really about kind of bending and flexing with whatever life puts in front of you. But, I mean, he had to do a lot more flexing than most people.
Right.
And, you know, I can see how inspiring that would be for somebody, you know, dealing with anything at that age. That's such a tough age.
It
you know,
is.
High school is a,
yeah,
so many,
wow,
changes, and we've certainly been through so many changes right now.
Mm-hmm.
So stories of resilience, I think, would be really welcomed at that level in the schools and the libraries.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So what do you enjoy the most, what you're describing? And I know you had a lot of fun writing that basketball book. I heard a little bit of your interview with Willie on,
yeah,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, every story is a different story,
mm-hmm,
and you know, you can't, when it comes to writing, you just can't generalize,
mm-hmm,
about, you know, what it's going to be, because you're trying to do the best you can to present, mm-hmm, a story that's entertaining.
Yeah.
And as you write, you're taking yourself in different directions with these different characters.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different when you write fiction than nonfiction, because
right,
with nonfiction, if you're working with someone on their autobiography or their memoir, you got to stay with the facts,
mm-hmm,
but you have to make it entertaining, which is a whole different challenge, because
yeah,
I keep telling people that when somebody tells you their life story, it's like a Reader's Digest version, and you just got to keep drawing out and saying,
yeah,
and honing in on specific examples, and then making that into something that is entertaining, that a lot of times after you work with them, they didn't even realize that what they had done was entertaining.
This is so
and
true.
And it was interesting, mm-hmm, for other people to know. They just took it for granted because it's,
sure,
their life.
Well, they're just doing it. They're doing
it. They're living
but
it and they're
yeah,
doing it.
Yeah, I can see, because, you know, you might have spent, you know, 30 weeks practicing this, but we don't need,
mm-hmm,
to hear about each week. You want to,
yes,
you know, where are the pivot points, and that's the mark of a good author, knowing, mm-hmm, where the shifts are happening and being able to read those points,
yes,
within a person's life. And you don't really know where those are, as you say, all of us don't, until we look back and see kind of the footprints behind us, right?
Yes.
I'm curious, your dad sounds like a very interesting man. What's your family like, and are there more stories with your, what you know about from his life that you want to tell?
Well, you know, the story of when he went to New Orleans,
uh-huh,
was, nobody ever talked about that much in the family, because my grandmother I still remember her one time standing in our kitchen wagging her finger at me and saying, don't you ever think about doing something like that. I'm like, think about what? And then so then they told me some details, not many, because they didn't,
yes,
want me to get interested in doing it. But then, you know, he was one of those people from what, you know, Tom Brokaw called America's Greatest Generation.
Yeah.
So when World War II broke out, he enlisted
there
in the Navy in December, mm, of 41, and was gone for 4 years. And so he had a lot of war stories and a lot of correspondence. And so when I wrote The Indian, I was able to use his letters that he had written home,
yeah,
incorporated them into the books, into that novel.
Yeah.
And which brought it a little bit more to life, I think, than if it would just been a narrative. So,
yeah. Now, he had to have been tickled when you, I mean, was he's...
He had already passed away.
He had, but
he had
so
passed
the
away.
Family.
He died in a fall, and,
oh,
and that's what sort of triggered me to write the stories.
Yeah.
You know, I had talked to him some after he had retired. We'd have lunch, and I'd ask a few details about some things, but I never intended ever... I didn't, uh-huh, even think about doing it. I was just curious.
Yeah.
And then I reached a point where as I was a chief financial officer of a company, of a real estate and development company, and when the recession hit, I was about losing my mind. So I started using writing as a diversion. I'd come home at night and research and do things and on that, and one thing led to another.
And, That's terrific.
But everybody says he'd have been proud of me, but at the same time I said, yeah, but he had a critical eye. Because you know, I had to and get fiction in the middle of all this. So
maybe it was something that couldn't be written while he was here.
But it was, because if a person had told you everything that they had done, you'd felt more compelled to use that, whereas I had enough framework to be creative.
Yes. Well, tell me, if you, I'd like to hear about the World War II a little more, and I also want to hear what you're working on right now. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, the World War II story was, as I said, was called The Indian. And I, after I wrote The Crossings, and it was, it won some big awards, I thought, man, I got to step this up here. You got, you know, I got to validate what I did. So I said, oh, I'm going to write The Indian. And so I did, and it was a fun story for me to write, because he was the primary character in the first book. His partner was fiction, and then in the second book, the, his buddy was the protagonist. And he was the secondary character. So it was fun doing that, and I incorporated a lot of areas in Northern Kentucky where we live, and people really loved it. But then I did have, I knew all about his World War II travels, and in fact, the reason that there was an Indian motorcycle in there, I was sitting there one day saying, how do I write a book about two 20-year-olds and make it interesting? And I happened to be watching American Pickers. And they had an Indian motorcycle on there, and I said, that was it.
That,
and I ran
great.
Off and incorporated an Indian motorcycle into
it. I love it.
Yeah.
So what's next? What are you doing?
You know, I just finished A Whisper in the Wind, and that came out this weekend, as well as Nate Branch's Playing My Way Through Life. And I think I'm going to write the fourth in the series after A Whisper in the Wind. I got one more of those in me.
Okay.
And then, you know, I never dreamt. I told somebody one time, though, if I ever wrote, it'd be nice to write seven books, so.
Well, I don't think you can stop at seven. What you're telling me, you're going to get this one done, and then you're going to see a little, another avenue off of there. And
maybe, but writing's hard work.
Oh, I hope that you continue.
It's hard
work. And I love that you've been able to use the letters from your family's history. What a great way. I mean, I know there are a lot of people out there that have these rich family histories, and that everybody can be a writer and an author is drawn to do it, but but there might be some other CFOs out there that have additional talents they haven't tapped into yet. I love that you've come from that zone into a whole other world and then use that to bring other worlds to so many people.
Yeah. And you know, and I was, when I was sitting in the headline booth this morning, I was telling one of the other authors, I said, you know, at heart, we're all entertainers. I said, people don't often look at authors as entertainers, but we are. We're trying to entertain people. And it's so pleasing when you talk to people and they come up and tell you they've read your book or they're going to and they know about it, and they say, oh, my father did that same thing, or this person did, you know. Or when I was selling Heart of a Lion, and they said, my son or my daughter has cerebral palsy, and this will be so inspirational to them, or they did this or that, you know, and it opens a whole new world to you.
Yes.
And it's always a feel-good world, which there's not enough of that in the world.
There isn't.
Today.
I love it.
So you feel like you're performing a public service almost. But those are the things you have to think of when you're sitting there at your computer at night trying to get a paragraph
written. Right, exactly, exactly. Well, Barry Kenzel, how do people find you, and schools, libraries, museums, if they want to get in touch with you to come and do an author visit or something, how do they do this?
Well, I have a website very professionally designed by my sister-in-law, Sherry Allen, and it's at www.barrykbooks.com.
Great.
You can contact me there. You can also get all the books on Amazon or through Headline Books, or even if you want an autographed copy, you can buy them through my website,
okay,
too.
Okay. Sounds like there really, truly is something for every kind of reader.
There is.
Yeah.
There is.
That's great. And I'm curious to see what comes out. I think you've got more in you. Thank you so much for talking with me today, Barry. Yeah. And I have been talking with Barry Kenzel, a very interesting author who will appeal to anybody in your family, I am sure. He covers it all. And we've been talking to you as part of Zoom Into Books podcast, live from the American Library Association Annual Conference in Washington, D.C., at the Live from the 25 Sound Pavilion. So this is Heather Dugan. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Heather.